Ian is the founder of Legacy Delivery and the honorary member of the IAH, and was head of major events at London for many years during the Olympic Games. So over to you, Ian. Thanks.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, that was that's a tough act to follow. You had a pretty good panel, there, and you've got a bunch of
men in suits.
Sorry, but you know, we're doing our bit for gender equality. We had such a good panel last time round, and we'll try and keep up with it. Yeah, well, thanks for the introduction, Ben. I'm familiar to some of you, maybe not to others. I'm a consultant, run a small consultancy in delivering impact and evaluating impact. And actually, this panel session is titled Justifying the Impact and Benefit of Events. And actually, when we get into it, I think you'll realise it really isn't about justifying. It's about planning for, and it's about target setting, and it's about thinking up front. Basically. So yeah, really, we've heard in other sessions a lot about, you know, the wider value of sport, the wider impact that we're all trying to, we're all more aware of, and we're all trying to deliver through our events. So what we'll try and do now is touch on some of the practicalities about delivering that and proving it, really getting under the skin of what it takes to do that. I am going to show you a couple of slides, hopefully. And we're going to prompt some of your questions earlier. So think about your questions now. You know, we're actually really interested to hear about your problems and your challenges, which we'll come to. And I think the one thing I would say on this subject is that, you know, we've been talking about things a lot, but you know, a lot of us know the phrase, what gets measured gets done. So really, you know, beyond just the sort of talking, you know, what can we tangibly, you know, put a figure on, or you know, just put a data point, a piece of data on. Thank you, Olga's. So there's a woman behind the scenes doing the real work, obviously. In my panel next to us, we have a host city. Perttu Pesa, Director of Major Events in the City of Tampere in Finland. You'll hear more from Perttu in a moment and get a bit more familiar about his home. We have a rights owner, Tony Jorba from World Athletics, who is busy, you know, head of event operations for World Athletics, who actually has to get the job done, get the event ready to go and start at different places around the world, many different events. And an expert in evaluation in Jack Nixon, Director of Strategy from Nielsen Sport. Nielsen, very well, huge international organisation in the world of research, which you'll hear from more in due course. Just before we get to Perttu, I've got a couple of slides as introduction. In the period of time since we've been here in person again and been able to see people in practice, there's a piece of work that I led that was a consultation exercise for this topic, basically. And these two charts that I'm just showing you here were actually results of a survey of International Association event host members. So we said, what are your objectives when you host an event? And actually, this changes over time. It was different for different cities, different countries, but recognizing that not everybody's in it for just purely tourism and economic reasons. What are your objectives? So if you had 100 points and gave them, attributed them against economic benefits, image and reputation benefits, social benefits, environmental benefits, you know, give us your score. And this was the outcome. So, you know, perhaps not surprisingly, the majority were economic and sort of media reputation related, but not an insignificant proportion of, you know, the perception was we're doing it for social and sustainability reasons. But my next question was then, how happy are you with the data you have to be able to judge that, you know, the measures of success? And actually, you know, the green, the amber, and the red is, green's above 80%, amber was above 60%, and you know, low satisfaction actually as low as 20% below or below. So when it comes to those wider areas, actually people don't have the data. They don't know how to measure. They don't know how to plan for and demonstrate the impacts against their objectives. So that's a little bit of scene setter. So I'll come to the panel then, and Pertu, I'll give you the opportunity to show a couple of slides, a bit of an understanding of Tampere.
Thank you. Hello everyone. My name is Perttu Pesänen. I'm in charge of major events behalf of the city of Tampere. And because you are so familiar about the Tampere, which is the second largest economical area in Finland, I should show you something from our city. So you know, 20 years ago, we had a huge political discussion inside to the city, that our stadium for football and athletics and concerts was in a wrong place because it's right on the downtown. We wanted to make there more, buildings for businesses and residences and so on, but luckily we didn't do that. I think that obviously that was a good issue for us, and we understood that okay, our downtown is the place where everyone wants to be. It's a city where the downtown is 1.6 kilometers wide from north to south. It's between two large lakes. And from east to west, it's about 3 kilometers, the whole downtown area. And so we can't make any more land area over there. We understood that it's walkable area. If we want to make some sustainable actions, we have to have more venues inside to the downtown area because then we can catch people inside to the city centrum by using some public transportations and not their own cars. Our major venues are over here, the Tampere Stadium for 16,800 spectators for athletics or football, and 32,000 for concerts. Then we develop a new area. There has been a railroad in the middle of the city since 1876, and we built a deck over that one and made an arena for concerts and ice hockey and it was opened last December. There are about 13,500 seats for sport and over 15,000 for different concerts. We do have a Technopolis area where are a lot of offices. The university campus is next to that. We do have the Tampere Hall for concert purposes. We do have some rock and roll clubs, etc. But those all are in our event and Congress district. You can see most of our hotels are inside to the same area. So when we are doing cooperation with World Athletics, it's easy to say SEBCO that okay, from this hotel to the stadium, from you it takes under 1 minute by walk or running, and it takes 10 minutes if you're using a car. So it depends what you want to use. So that's how we carry all the international actors to do less pollution inside over there. And so I think where I should give this one. Okay, this might be the final one where you can see those. So that was the I think that's all. So that's the structure inside the Tampere. And now those are actions we've made for sustainability example. And you know, if we do have a common sustainable aims, we already made some actions for different actors.
Thank you, Pertu. We'll come back and I'll challenge you about yeah, the evaluation of some of the events you've hosted, like Under 20 World Athletics Championships 2018, which brings us to Tony and your background. So as a rights owner, you've got global responsibilities across different events and different cities. You know, you're not spending all your time in Finland. You're moving on to the next city. You care when you're there, but you know, actually you've got a different job to do. So, you know, what data do you gather and how do you measure success, and then how does that overlap with what relevant things for PERT?
Thanks, Ian. So, believe it or not, we started doing some studies on impact of our events not long time ago, and I think Tampere was one of the first ones. And the obvious one we start doing is the economic impact. So when we try to convince cities or territories, is the first question. And yesterday, I'm going to quote one of you guys. I think it's not there. You guys are not cheap. So, okay, maybe there's an investment you have to do, but if there's a return on this investment, obviously it's easier to convince, and we need some data to do that. So one of our challenges as well is that, from what Ian said, our events are kind of a one-off event, so the same event is not in the same place every year, which will help a lot gathering those data and comparing this data as well and taking some actions to improve, like we could have done in Tampere if we have the same event. But for example, if we take the under 20s, we were in Finland in 2018, then we went to Kenya in Nairobi, which you can imagine is a completely different reality, different cost of living, and then we went to Cali, Colombia, which again is completely different. So one of our challenges is then how we use also this data, how we can compare, and thanks to companies like Nielsen, try to standardize the way we calculate that. Because if we start changing the formulas on how to calculate this impact, if it's social, economic, or whatever, you cannot compare anything. So that's one of our main goals. I think Jack later will talk about other pillars of the studies we're doing, but the first one obviously was the economic impact, so we can then convince some of you guys to stage our events.
Thanks, Tony. Well, you've already sort of led into introduction to Jack. And so Jack, obviously there's a specific conversation, you know, in relation to the work you do with World Athletics, but on that point of, you know, having a consistent approach and these wider impacts. Now, Nielsen are known for media measurement, particularly, and there is a sort of a relative accepted standard approach to that. So what's new? What are you doing now, and how does that address some of these issues?
Yeah, thanks, Ian. So I think that the main word there is that consistent approach, and that's why I probably should be saying this as a consultant, but there's a lot of other groups that do something. And I think as an industry, we need to get that standardized metric. So we're the likes of World Athletics who move from city to city, but actually we want to be able to compare Tampere to Nairobi to Cali. And so we know, looking at the stats, just an economic piece was done for Tampere, and compare that to Nairobi, we found 50% additional benefit in Nairobi, and most of that came from social, environmental, and media. And so, as I said, the pillar that we use to do our work is, we have the economic impact, which I'm sure everyone is aware of, bed nights and others. We then have environmental. I won't go into too much detail given the sort of two panels ago, but we look at CO2 emissions and how sort of initiatives are there to offset that. We look at attendance, so key demographic data of people who are attending, but also those who are watching. And we also look at sort of the media data using Nielsen and my colleagues' sort of data, how much brand exposure your partners are getting, but also what your host city is getting. And that's why athletics is a fantastic property, because the amount of times you see the host city on the bibs, on the medals, around the stadium is great. And then finally, probably for this one, is around social. So we look at things, increased participation, what that does for someone's mental well-being, their likelihood to continue that after the event, buy things in the economy. So what we try and do is really put a monetary value on those social impacts. As I said, participation, health and well-being. So to quote a stat, we know that for every one person who, under the age of 16 in the UK, who does 1 hour of additional exercise a week. And that's the key thing, it's that additional bit. We need to get that benchmark. But every additional saves the NHS £1,400 a year. So what we're doing is finding those metrics, finding those key stats and amazing research that's been done previously, pooling that together and then bringing it to the events and the initiatives to really get that holistic impact of an event.
I'll follow up, Jack. Well, in fact, I'll do that now. I mean, touching on that then, diving a little bit more into social impacts, the sort of feel-good factor, you know, some of the topics yesterday that people talked on, you know, the value of events. You've talked about very specifically some of those health benefits, but you know, how is it doable? Is it doable to quantify things in the context of an event that, you know, well, I'll touch on the World Indoor World Championships in Glasgow next, well, in just over a year's time, 2024. So, you know, there's an event you're planning for, there's an organising committee in place, there will be a budget to do your overlay, there'll be a budget to provide your temporary power, there'll be, you know, everything else, there'll be a budget for some research. Is it doable to be able to commission a social impact study alongside this economic impact study, for example?
In short, yes, it is. I would say that I'm no social economic sort of analyst, etc., and there'll be probably other people who'll be far better, but it isn't the, like, 100% solution. It's a start, and I think what we're doing is at least reporting on certain key metrics, and I think we advance every time in our partnership with World Athletics and FIBA and other great rights holders is we're working, and every time we do another impact assessment, we're slightly changing, we're slightly improving. In terms of possible, it can be costly. So to run on-site surveys for spectators, do also surveys for people in the city who may not be attending the event because they see, we saw sort of Copenhagen, the yellow and everything that's around. We want to get their data, and a lot of collecting data is costly. We range from anything up to sort of 100, 150K down to something as small as 5, 10K to run some surveys. So it is possible, and I think for me, the one thing I'd say is it's worth it. Sort of, it is 100% worth it because the more data we have, the more we can learn, the more accurate information we can have, and we can go from Tampere to Nairobi to Cali and say this worked well. And to go back to some of the previous panels, is aligning it with the city's objectives. Is both Tony and Pertu will have their own objectives. What we can do, and I think I'm a strong believer in, is we don't have to really invent the wheel. We just find the people, the places, the properties that are doing those initiatives, things well, and just learn from that. Take what doing well in the 100, see what World Athletics do, Wimbledon when it comes to equality and pay. Take those ideas and just add it into your next event and slightly grow from there.
Just before we come back to you, Tony, Pertu, you've hosted the World Under 20 World Athletics Championships. You've hosted the ice hockey, you know, World Championships this year, which if you're a Finn, then, you know, you're a fan of ice hockey. And the Finns won this year as well, so Tampere was bananas with fans with hockey shirts on, I imagine, this year. But you've been in post a number of years, and you've known what you wanted to get out of those events and show from those events, and you've understood what's practical and isn't. You know, how do you relate to what Jack's saying about what you can and can't measure, and maybe touch on your experience from 2009 and about what you're looking at now?
Well, I think that the world was different from our side 10, 12 years ago. That was the time when cities and governmental units just want to count the economical impact and how much they are putting in money and how much they are getting back. Of course, image impact is important for the second cities like Glasgow and Birmingham knows quite well. And, you know, Tampere has 250,000 inhabitants, and there are 3,000 cities which are wider than we are. So if we want to sit on the position of 3,001, just, you know, sit over there. But the social impact and the community impact is much bigger value right now. And that's why the dialogue between the right holders is much, you know, fruitful nowadays, because we need those impacts to our citizens and for our community. There are two kinds of social or community impacts. Those what you can actually count immediately, how proud people are, or was it accessible for all, etc., etc. But then there are those long-term impacts. And we are starting with the Tampere University, the research from European Youth Olympic Games, what we held in 2009. And we are making a research how those people who were volunteers or in charge of volunteers or whatever, how they actually carry the legacy of that competition during their times to go to the work life. Because events are, they are for our society, they are most important actors over there, because there are no other possibilities for, you know, 25-year-old university study lady to be chief of the 500 volunteers. No other company is going to take that chance. But that gives a possibility for individuals to show what they actually do know, and that's really important for you know, really important social impact what we are actually catching, and that's what we want to study right now.
I think just adding to that, and I think it's a fantastic point, is events and World Athletics, for example, are an enabler for cities to hit their objectives. And myself and Tony will have impact pre-event, obviously making sure we're reporting the right things, understanding how we're going to report those things. But after the event, and sort of no disrespect to World Athletics, they leave and you go on to the next one. We do our report and we go on to our next project. It is Pertu and others who are left to be then hopefully accountable for everything that they said that they were going to achieve afterwards. And I think the one frustration sometimes we can have as a sort of a data and service provider is having those longitudinal studies that you said, because a lot of time, and we heard some fantastic things that were said about sort of Paris going forward, but in 6-10 years time, is that LOC going to be accountable if they unfortunately don't hit those targets? And I think we need to be undertaking this longitudinal view, especially on things like social impact, to make sure that we are accountable, valuing, but also collecting data. And I say the more data we have, the better insight, and help not only Finland and Tampere, but other cities and other events as well.
And I think picking up these ideas and also the fact that we have in 2024 the World Indoor Championships in Glasgow, when we had the kickoff meeting this year, was you can see completely the difference having to have these discussions with the city, that they have a strategy with events, and maybe it's not good for our ego as the right owners, but we're just a tool for the cities to achieve other objectives, that we try to align those objectives, but it's not 100% aligned. Obviously, we want to have a lot of events around the world, and they have other, maybe more specific in the city, in the region, in the country to do that. But it's completely different discussions with them. We didn't have to ask for what are your KPIs. It's like they are saying, okay, these are our KPIs. What are you going to do, World Athletics, to help us getting that? And that, I think, as Jack said at the beginning, is very important to define this at the beginning, because some of the maybe mistakes we did in the past as a federation is like, okay, after the event, let's say what data we have, and then let's provide with the study. Well, no, it's not like this. You have to think about what you want to provide first. Build your tools to get this data, which is, we have, I think, improved a lot in the last 5 years, but we still have a lot to improve, especially those topics that are more difficult to get, not in the system, but like more surveys with the spectators, with the volunteers. And that's why, and maybe Ben, for the next edition, we have a longer session on this, but what's the implication of the right owners to get this data for the cities? Because Jack is right that in our case, when we go to an event, after this event, even though, you know, legacy and heritage is really important, it's part of the bidding phase to get the event, after the event, we are not that involved on making sure that what you promise in your bidding phase, now you are achieving it. It's more the on the city's side to make sure that our event has served the purpose. So I think we have to be very involved on defining together with the cities all these KPIs and helping them getting the data. But after that, I'm not sure if I should do that. I should say that as a federation or not. But it's true that we leave and we go to then to the next event. We go to Budapest. We go to Bathurst next year, to Riga, and we have the same things and the same issues all the time. But I think there should be this connection much earlier with the cities. It's good to have cities, Birmingham, Glasgow, Helsinki, Tampere, that are doing this. But maybe we have to, I don't know, train or brief or teach the cities to have these strategies.
But you know, what we could do actually over there, because all the international organizations need a report 3 months after the competition. So we are actually counting just some numbers. So maybe there should be a meeting, you know, 5 years after. Was there anything? What was the legacy? What actually we gave to you? Because those are the results what we have to have together and count those because that's obviously the information you need either.
Yeah. So maybe there's an evaluation commission when you're bidding or bid commission. There's a coordination commission meeting when you're in the planning and the lead up to, and then there's a legacy commission, you know, built into the sort of process of managing the relationship between a federation and the host, maybe.
Because it's true that maybe we're not that involved on the legacy specifically for each city, but it's true that with our global campaigns of, you know, you have to run, everybody should do some physical activity, or the have the run in a place with clean air, like more globally, those specific, you know, follow up these results and will help as well the federation to make sure that those campaigns that we're trying to do are really effective and it's not just a PR campaign. So absolutely, agree.
I'm gonna ask the question: what is anything hot topic? You don't necessarily need to formulate a question for the panel, but is there anything front of mind that's in your own experience? Is it Anthony up there?
I can just shout out. So I represent a number of different rights holders from Supercross and WWE through the speaking, skateboarding, you know, active sport brands, and so on.
I was having a good chat with Jack yesterday about the importance of these reports. My experience at the moment is, you know, the rights holders are needing to provide a lot more, put a lot more into, you know, social impact and community impact and so on. But the reality is that investments are still driven by economic impact. And that's the first thing I'm always told is, how many bed nights are you going to have? Another reality is that street league skateboarding, which is going to probably produce the next Olympic, you know, athletes, five of the Olympic medalists are street league skateboarding athletes. Their event is never going to get the investment that a WWE or a Supercross might get. And it feels to me that there needs to be a bit more standardization, or the rights holder needs to understand from the outset what is the weighting of the investment, because KPIs are written into the agreements, but it's still based on economic impact. And is there a way that actually a rights holder can understand, you know, 30% of the investment is going to be based on social impact, etc.? And that doesn't seem to be standardized at all.
I'd love to give it, I'll give you an immediate response to that, but I think I see people now starting to develop tools that enable themselves to give their own weighting to it. So the chart we put at the beginning gave you some weightings, you know, that were a collection of, you know, a bunch of different opinions. But now, well, actually in practice, I've been doing it a couple of destinations and helping them say, you know, use some standard metrics and then apply your own weightings to these. So the data that we collectively apply and the exercise that I carried out, of which I've, you know, printed copy here, you know, from the common indicators work for between ASWAF and IAEH, there's a bunch of simple things in there that, you know, are the starting point for looking at things in more detail, and they're not very sophisticated. But if you, everybody kind of recognise, basically everybody in this consultation exercise recognise there is a bunch of things that we're all going to need to start measuring, and a lot of them related to, you know, David Stubbs's panel discussion before about environmental issues and, you know, sustainability more widely and diversity. You know, we all need to start gathering some basics around this. Now, quite does a politician, you know, judge how much money they put towards that because, you know, it's not bed nights and it's all social impact. We don't know where we are, and different people are on different journeys yet. But some places have already started, putting more weight on those other things. And if we can at least start gathering some basic stuff, then we're going to improve over time to be able to make that case. Sorry, Jack.
Yeah, I think just to add to that, so the Oregon World Champs that just happened in Eugene, the economic benefit was about 63% of the total impact. So we know economic is going to remain the bedrock of the impact. I think for me it's data, and it's also shouting when we have the data. Some fantastic reports on the social return on investment. Rugby League announced one in 2019. For every £1 spent, there's like £4.08 return. UEFA did one, grassroots football in the UK, £3.16 for your return. Unfortunately, a lot of those are at the community and grassroots level, and I think that's where it's great to look at those initiatives and measure that. I think from a professional event perspective, trying to work out that social return on investment is a bit more difficult. And there's, so Nielsen and I'm a member of a group getting together with UNESCO, FIFA and others to really try and put numbers on that so we can sing and shout about actually. And I think it was mentioned yesterday when we were talking about budgets and that return on investment, is that it's far easier to get a better return on investment focusing on social initiatives than looking at things like building new infrastructure for a hotel, for example. So I think it's a mixture of getting better data, but also when we have that data, sharing it more widely and then sort of shouting it from the rooftops.
Just check in, how much time are we going there, Ben? Three minutes. You can add. But any other hands? Any other pertinent issues that are at the top of people's minds?
If not, I would just add to that comment. It's also not just to gather the data, but how we use the data. What the five means. I mean, and again, the consistency and being structured is really key. And I think maybe the industry of the companies that are doing these exercises needs to sit down and together with the different cities or companies to make sure that regardless who is doing this study, you can keep comparing, because I can give a number, 18 million is a return of investment, and then other event which is using a different system to calculate it, a different formula, and maybe it's a better event than mine, but the number is just five million. So it's really key to sit down the stakeholders in order to standardize this. Otherwise, we just put numbers in a PowerPoint, it looks really good, but nobody believes those numbers at the end. So we really need the industry to be more mature maybe on this, and I think it's not just the companies who are doing it, but with our help as well, right holders and host to do it.
Perfect opportunity for me to introduce Pertu's new role as the incoming chair of International Association of Event Hosts. So that's an umbrella body for not-for-profit organisations that represent those hosts, and there's an umbrella body that represents the sport. So what's your view on that approach to sort of standardising and helping each other out in the industry as a whole?
Well, I totally agree, Tony. What we do have right now, we do have results which are not compatible for each other, and that's the thing what we need to standardize, and that's one of the IAEH main target has been since 2016 when we established that one, because our units, cities, governments, they do need an information where you can actually compare different events and different hosts and how it goes over there. And we do have problems. we get the result from the Ice Hockey World Championships and the results from there were that, that okay, the economical impact is 86 to 114 million somewhere over there. And then when we check out the figure, so over, over there, the value of accommodation services inside to the research was double than the reality. How much the accommodation actually were worth it. So I don't want to answer every day for the press that where these figures came. I need the numbers what we can compare.
I think we're pretty much wrapping up. I'm getting the signal here from Ben. Any literally sort of 20-second final messages, Jack, over from you, anything to end on?
I think it's probably just to reiterate sort of we're all on that same journey and it is about sort of working together collaboratively to share data. There is, say, there's a lot of work that's been done and it's just getting together, understanding the objectives that cities' rights holders have and how that sort of can benefit sort of society as a whole. And it is just, say, working together and, say, open to approaches. As Nielsen, our framework is ever evolving and we learn from every event, every time we have a discussion. And I think it's just focusing on that really, just moving improvement, taking that one step forward.
Thanks. Pertu, any final words from you?
Well, I think that we are in the middle of some kind of, new cooperation where we do understand what are the different aims from the governmental city side, from right holders and etc. So I think
we're in a good spot potentially. Yeah. Tony, final word.
I think just a request, maybe not a message, a request to all the cities when you go back home and just tell your colleagues from other cities who are not that professional or that prepared or they have the clear ideas to have a proper strategy, what you want to achieve. Because what we find is that sometimes it's not our event is not part of a strategy. It's like just a medal someone wants to put in their CV. So if you can come back to your Florida, Helsinki, or here in Glasgow, and just to make sure that you convince your colleagues that what you're doing is just great, and we need this type of strategies, and that will help then the rest to make sure that. The data is there, the events are well done, the legacy is also done, and we can monitor as well in the future.
Thank you. Well, that's it from us. And if you just give a moment's appreciation to the panelists, and we'll move on.